Exodus chapter 15, starting at verse number 1. It says, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. It says, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. And in the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, 'I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them.' But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you brought pass by, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. The Lord will reign forever and ever.'" When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." The song of Moses and the song of Miriam. Some of my best recollections of growing up in church in Buffalo, New York. And if you go here, you've heard me say several times, I grew up at the Linwood Church of Christ in Buffalo, New York. But some of my best recollections was about the June or July time frame of the year, because that's when we had our annual gospel meeting and homecoming. How many people know about gospel meetings? Not a lot of gospel meetings going on anymore, but we had a gospel meeting every year. In fact, that church still has a gospel meeting every year. The gospel meeting kicks off every year at that time with Homecoming Sunday. And Homecoming Sunday is a day of celebration. It marks the anniversary of when the preacher got there. And so we have this guest speaker come in. We get a pretty powerful speaker to come in who's going to spend a week with us. And it's an evangelistic effort. We go and we pass out flyers all out in the neighborhood. We try to get a bunch of people to come. But we put a lot of effort into that Sunday service, that homecoming service. That's the one that has the power, that has the punch. We have a morning service, and then we have a big dinner afterwards, a luncheon afterwards. And then we come back right after lunch, and we have an abbreviated worship service. And then it gets busy, y'all. We have what we call our homecoming song fest. And for 2 hours, there are groups from our church, groups from some of the other churches in the area, and we all get together. And even though we were at church, it was kind of, that was the time where we had church. Y'all know, y'all get my meaning? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But that in the black church, that's what it means when you come together, you start having some singing, and you start having some swaying, and you start doing some things with some of these songs and clapping and having a good old time. That's what we call having church. And so for 2 hours, man, we'd have groups that get up and sing some songs. And I was part of we had a church chorus, and we get up and we sing some songs. And I was part of a quartet or a quintet of guys. We were called the Sons of Harmony. And we would get up and we would sing some songs. And again, some churches from Rochester would come up and sing. You know, our chorus would sing songs like There Is a Land I Know, and I'm on my way to see Jesus. And the Sons of Harmony would sing songs like Victory and Cool Down Yonder. The Central Church from Rochester, New York would come in to the stage, and they would sing a vigorous version of that good old gospel ship. And my cousin, Sister Corey Walker, would come up, and she has one of the sweetest voices you've ever heard. And she would sing this song called Beautiful Gleanings Bring. The Henrietta Road Church would be there, and they would sing songs led by a guy by the name of Jonathan Wilson, who has one of the most powerful voices that I have ever heard, a really good friend. And I remember that there were several years that Jonathan and that chorus from Henrietta Road would sing this same song. And when they would sing that song, church, it would bring the house down. People would go crazy because of the way it sounded and what was contained in the lyrics of that song. It was a song called Grace and Mercy. I was able to go on YouTube and find a clip of the song. Now, this isn't Jonathan singing, but this is the song that they would sing. And so we'll play a little bit of it, but play close attention to the words. Go ahead and play that clip. You know, recalling those lyrics, and if you couldn't make it out, your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Thank you for saving a sinner like me to tell the world salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right, but you watched over me all day and night. Your grace and mercy brought me through. You know, recalling those lyrics and recalling that experience highlights something that many have noticed in our society. You know, the black church, as some would call it, has in many ways captured the essence of singing as a response to the activity of God. Now, this is not to suggest that they have exclusive rights to this activity, but many would argue that the experience of slavery and the civil rights struggle in this country have been great contributors to the psyche of African Americans, and it comes out in the music of the church. Now, whatever the impetus, the black church knows how to sing. So I didn't say sing. They know how to sing some songs. And the black church unashamedly sings songs of struggle and triumph. And they attribute their salvation and their rescue and their plight in this life, even in civil matters, to the saving power and love of God. And thus, we find ourselves singing some of these songs, and we find ourselves celebrating our God and celebrating the things that he has done. As I have said earlier in this series, many have looked at Exodus and the Exodus story and appropriately adapted it to their own plights and situations. And certainly the African-American plight is one that identifies with the plight of Israel as slaves in Egypt. And when a people is liberated, that is an event for celebration. When I say liberated, I'm saying they were freed, they were rescued, they were taken out of that situation, and that gives rise to celebration. Now should come as no surprise that there's a celebration in toward a response to something. When you get a touchdown in football, we who watch football know that there's some people who do what? They have a celebration. When you look at the calendar and you see that you've been married for 20 years, you celebrate. When you get a birdie on the 18th hole, you celebrate. When you finish that marathon, you celebrate, and then you collapse. But you celebrate. When you find out that the cancer is in remission, you celebrate. When your child graduates, you celebrate. We know what celebration is all about. We throw wonderful celebrations for birthdays and for retirements and for national championships. We know how to celebrate. And church, we should know how to celebrate our God. Because our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. And so the appropriate response to God when he has delivered us is to celebrate him in worship. Y'all can say amen. These lights gonna start saying amen in a second. That concept isn't foreign. I suppose that is what we do when we come together on Sunday mornings, right? We are celebrating God. We are responding to the activity of God. God is the stimulus. And after the Exodus, when Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the first scene we encounter is the people of God celebrating their God in song and in worship. The text of Exodus 15 follows the fantastical story of God's deliverance through the Red Sea. They are now on the other side, and their enemy, the Egyptians, have been swallowed up in the sea. They are on their way, church, to their own land, toward their new life as a liberated community. And so what does a people who have been delivered and liberated do? They sing and dance and celebrate their God. They're on their way. They've been delivered. So let's celebrate. Exodus 15 contains what has been called the Song of Moses. Most point out that this song probably represents in our Bibles the oldest poem or song in the Bible. And this song is full of explicit language that connects the liberated people to a powerful and awesome God. They sing to Yahweh, they sing to their God and tell the story of their deliverance. And in this song, if you listen to that text, they made claims about Yahweh. They said, the Lord is a warrior. They talk about his strength and they talk about his might and his right hand or his mighty hand. If you're left-handed, Don, they're not trying to hate on you, but right hand was a way of saying a strong arm, a mighty hand. The text talks about God being able to fight some battles. You know, we fight a lot of battles and we think we're pretty strong and we're pretty confident and we're pretty accomplished. But know this, that any battle that we fight, that we think we can conquer, God can knock it out with his mighty hand. He's a warrior. They talk about the Lord being their salvation. That song we just listened to, your grace and mercy brought me through. That's talking about a God of salvation. They said the Lord is glorious in power. They say that the Lord is majestic in holiness. The Lord has redeemed them. That means that they were something that they felt like nothing, but God has done something to them and made them something. It talks about the Lord triumphs, and it talks about the Lord reigning forever. His reign isn't temporal. It's forever. It's permanent. Now, do you think that we could build a songbook on those themes? Isn't that what we sing about and celebrate when we come together? We just sung a song that said, in heavenly armor we'll enter the land, the battle belongs to the Lord. We sing songs like salvation belongs to our God. We sing songs like our God, he is alive. We sing songs like forever reigns. We sing songs like the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We sing songs like, oh Lord, our God, how majestic is your name. We sing songs like give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Church, this is the content of our songs to God, and we share these songs together as our response to God's activity, for he turned our crying into celebration. He turned our lament to loud shouts of praise. He turned our depression into dancing. He turned our worry into worship. The Lord delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, and he has delivered us out of sin, out of sticky situations, out of addictions, and out of fear and paranoia. You see, his grace and mercy has brought us through. We are living these moments because of you. We want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy has brought us through. I thought I'd preach a little bit this morning. Look, 50 years ago, the men and women who would dare march for their civil rights in Selma, Alabama, and just yesterday celebrating 50-year anniversary of what's called Bloody Sunday, when some men and women dared march for their civil rights over the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. They would sing songs like, Can't Nobody Turn Me Around, and we shall overcome. And when they reflect on the passage of the Civil Rights Bill, they would sing in jubilation songs of celebration because they felt as if God had delivered them and given them the justice that they so strongly prayed for and cried out to God for. And they would dance. You should see some of the pictures of the passage of the Civil Rights Bill, and you see African Americans and white folks in the streets dancing in jubilation at the news for a new day. In their minds and hearts, they knew that the Lord was on their side and he was active in defeat of the powers that would try to subvert the will of the people and rob them of basic human rights. Church, the God of Israel was a warrior God that fought against the nations and the powers. Egypt didn't stand a chance against Yahweh. The sea didn't stand a chance against Yahweh. It's important for us to understand that in ancient Israel, they viewed the sea as an evil power that represented chaos. And at the Red Sea, the Israelites felt trapped. You see, on one side, they had the Egyptians coming at them, evil, power, strong. And in front of them, they had the Red Sea. Well, the sea to them meant chaos. It meant evil. It was something that frightened them. The fact that Yahweh summoned the chaos of the sea to work on their behalf was something supernatural, and it sent a message to the people that Yahweh is indeed all-powerful over people and over nature. His mighty hand struck down the Egyptians. His mighty hand controlled the chaos of the sea and ordered that chaos to work on behalf of Israel. The chaos in your life, the chaos in my life, God can order it, and God can cause it to work on our behalf. The opposition in our life, God has the power to strike it down, church. When you're stuck, God's mighty hand can break through and move you. And when he does, the appropriate response is to worship. It's to sing. And that's why we have 150 examples in our Bibles of what it means to respond to the activity of God. That's what the Psalms are all about. The Psalms are our reactions. They're responses by men and women of faith about what God has done for them or what they want God to do for them. Their response of singing. Examples like Psalm 7:17. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 57:7. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Psalm 63:2-4. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Psalm 89, I will sing to the Lord's great love forever. My mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Psalm 139:14, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you see people of God saying God has done something? He's a stimulus, and because of what he has done, I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to give him worship. I'm going to sing with my lips. This is why we need to know our story, so we can sing our song. So what's your song? What's your anthem? What has the Lord done for you, and how will you sing to him? What's our story as a church? And how will we sing our song to him? Yeah, I'm asking a question. How big is your God? Is he a God that we control? Is he a God that we put in a box, and we've determined his dimensions, and we've determined what he can do and what he can't do? And so then our worship is determined by what we have defined what God can do. Or do we have a God that... try to keep him in his building. Try to keep him in this. This world can't contain him. And so what is our song in response to a God that's that big? Not that big. So what's your song? Moses led the people in a song about the sea. His sister, the text says, a prophet, led in choruses with dancing. They didn't let anything get in their way of their worship, their appropriate response to the activity of God. And see, nothing ought to stop our praise. Not tradition, not time, not volume. We need to get our praise on. I have said this on many occasions. There are many things that the world is just going to outpace us on. just is. The world, they may outrun us. They might outgain us. They may have more influence and outperform us in society. They may, in trying to climb up the social ladder, they may outperform us there. But there's one thing that the world shouldn't be able to do no matter what, and that's outpraise us. Let me say it again. I don't think y'all got it. Y'all ain't get it. Let me come talk to this side. Let me see if this side with me. Let me see this side with me. Listen, the world may do a lot of things, like better than us. They may outgain us. They may outperform us in society and on a job. They may go up the ladder. They may get better promotion. They outdo us. But the one thing they can't do is outpraise us. Oh yeah, I like this side. I bring it back here and I'll just summarize it. The one thing that the world can't do, church, is outpraise us. So why would we dare limit our own praise? It's time for us to really reflect on what the Lord has done for us. See, this is the reason why. Now, I grew up in a black church. How many people grew up in a black church? Now, what time? We about to end in about 2 minutes. Black church is going to still be in church, all right? Black church will be there at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Because they get their praise on. They sing. They respond to their God. And it doesn't have a limit. That doesn't mean that we don't have order. That doesn't mean that we have a system. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, let's not limit our praise because we're restricted, because we got things to do. The thing we got to do is give God some praise, because we're liberated people. We are free people. We've been redeemed. He has saved us. He's a mighty warrior who fights battles for us. He defeats our enemies. He defeats the powers that surround us. That's our God. Our God is greater. Our God is higher. Our God is higher than any other. That's our God. And so as we leave here today, as you look at the Song of Moses, as you look at the Song of Miriam, don't be so enthralled in their words that you forget the song that God is putting on your heart in response to what God has done to you. And you sing that song, and don't let nobody tell you you can't sing that song. You go ahead and sing that song, because that's the song that God gave you. Let's outpraise. Let's get our praise on. Take the shackles off my feet was a song that came off a few years ago. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. That's a song that says that it's free me, so I can give God praise. You celebrate the Buckeyes, give, great. Celebrate your leader, great. Celebrate your parents, great. But the celebration for our God has to be 40, 50 times louder, because he's bigger and better than everything. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, we give you praise today. Father, I pray that the songs that we've sung today, the prayers that we've prayed to you today, the fellowship that we are participating in, God, may it be a response to what you have done in our lives. Thank you for liberating us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for being a mighty warrior who strikes our enemies down with your mighty hand. God, thank you for controlling the chaos in our lives and ordering the chaos and even using the chaos for our benefit. See, that's how powerful you are. So God, I pray that when we see the chaos, that we don't run and hide, but that we have faith that you're about to order that chaos on our behalf. Father, we're unashamed to say that you are bigger and greater and higher than any other institution, person, God, system. You're bigger than our thoughts. You're bigger than our rules. You're bigger than our traditions. You're bigger than everything. And so God, we give you worship. Father, thank you for this body of believers. And I pray that we will come to a better awareness of your presence that is right here with us right now, that's within us right here, right now. Father, so when we worship, when we give you praise, Father, help us to understand that we don't worship by ourselves, but we worship being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we worship you in spirit and in truth. God, thank you for your love. And Father, make yourself known in this place in ways that you've never done before. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's get our praise on, and I pray that when you come and you enter this place of worship, when you have your yesterday or Friday, I was at home, and man, I turned on some worship music, and I got my praise on. Don't think that your worship and your praise is limited to this space or this time. Live a life full of praise and worship and glory to God. As we sing this song, What the Lord Has Done in Me, if there's anything that the church can do for you, pray for you, surround you with brothers and sisters, if you're struggling with something, it's okay to come and share that struggle and let us help you carry that burden. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ like Mark did last week, we will accommodate that request, accommodate that ministry. Take your confession of Jesus Christ. We'll baptize you into Jesus Christ. And we will walk with you in your journey with the Lord. Is that all right? Let's stand and let's sing.